going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath. They were watching him closely. Just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move higher up." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I've just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.' Herein is good news. Praise be to God."
There are no Hollywood stars, Disney princesses, or NHL all-stars at the head of Jesus' table. There are no place cards making sure that those with the most money, the most talent, or the most influence are sitting in the choice spots. There is no head table for the guests of honor. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, there is no Jew or Greek, male nor female, slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ. That's the point that Jesus made in the story he told at the home of the Pharisee, where he had been invited to eat the Sabbath meal. Now, Jesus had just healed a man with dropsy. That's a swelling of the soft tissues of the body. Great, we think. The man's healed. Now he can go and enjoy his Sabbath, enjoy life more. But technically, healing was work, and one didn't work on the Sabbath. So, as Jesus enters the Pharisee's home, there's already debate going on around him about whether he'd broken the law or not. But that doesn't stop Jesus. He wasn't one to refrain from causing chaos or dispute. So when he sees that people are jockeying to get the best seats at the table, the seats where they will be most noticed, be closest to the host, or get served first, Jesus dives right in with another challenge to conventional thinking. As people are trying to inch their way toward the good seats, he loudly pronounces, "When you are invited to a banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor or try to distinguish yourself. Take the lowest place and let the host move you to the best place if the host so chooses." I imagine that left a few people in the room feeling a bit uncomfortable. But Jesus doesn't only challenge the guests, he also challenges those who are hosting the meal. When you give a luncheon or dinner, don't just invite friends or family or rich neighbors. Don't invite those who can do something for you in return. Instead, invite those who are left out, those who have nothing they can offer in return. And then he tells the parable of the great dinner in which the host fills the tables with anyone and everyone after being turned down by those well-positioned to come. At Jesus' table, there are no Hollywood stars or Disney princesses or NHL all-stars all sitting in prime places. There are no place cards to make sure that those with the most money, the most talent, and the most influence get the best spots. There is no head table for the guest of honor, for we are all one in Christ. It was a radical thing for Jesus to declare that no one would be singled out for special status at his table, at this table at which we gather today. So, you know why we do the little bits of bread and the little cups of juice and just have little bits each? It's for this very reason, so that everyone gets something and no one is left out. No one person gets more, leaving others to only have crumbs. It is a radical thing that we do at this table, a statement of justice and compassion, making sure that everyone is valued and everyone is fed. When we share the cup and the bread, we are living out what Jesus spoke and demonstrated. No one has more status than another. No one is considered more deserving. No one has earned or been rewarded with a place of honor. No one is judged less worthy, for we are all one in Christ. That's what we are living when we share at this table. It is a radical thing that we do at this table, giving everyone equal status and equal honor. But it is not what is done typically in our society. Our society, human society, always wants to give special status to certain people. Sorry to pick on them, but the Hollywood stars, Disney princesses, and NHL all-stars, for example. Or we allow people to claim special status and privilege for themselves with golden toilets and huge monetary bonuses, but not in Jesus' kingdom, not at Jesus' table. There is nothing that gets you special status at this table other than you just being you. The American dream is built on the idea that we can all become stars, all become millionaires. Yet it is now a lie. The rich are becoming richer, and the middle class and lower class are losing ground. But not in Jesus' kingdom, not at Jesus' table. Jesus says, if you choose to follow my way, then share what you have with those who can't repay you. Those who aren't going to give you a good interest rate. Jesus says, don't jockey for the head of the line or the seat of honor, but live humbly and generously. That's Jesus' kingdom. That's Jesus' table. Jesus looks around at the people in the room ready to share the Sabbath meal. and he sees quite clearly that status or wealth don't bring happiness. He also sees quite clearly that those who are struggling in poverty, hungry every day, and homeless do not have happiness. As he imagines his kingdom, Jesus sees sharing among people, spoken so eloquently in the words of the prophet Micah, "They shall all sit under their own vines and fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, and no one shall be hungry or alone." Jesus sees a table where happiness comes from sharing food, not achieving status, where deep joy is found in conversation with others rather than having the best seat in the house, where peace comes from resting from labor, not from accumulated wealth. That is the Sabbath table of our Jewish neighbors. While some in Jesus' time may have taken the laws prohibiting work on the Sabbath a bit too far when they protested that Jesus offered healing on the Sabbath, the intent of not working on the Sabbath is a good one. Wouldn't most of us love a day where there is no work to do, but also no worries, no demands, no fears, no frustration, a day free from it all? A day that was daily, a truly a day of rest. Yet when was the last time you had a 24-hour period of true rest? Not just physical rest, but a spiritual and emotional rest. That is what the Jewish Sabbath is meant to be all about. It is about resting from labor and resting in God. The specific laws and requirements that go with the Sabbath are meant not as burdensome restrictions, but are rather there to safeguard the Sabbath and to free people to experience rest from labor and rest in God. All cooking and cleaning and preparation is done prior to sunset on Friday. Everything is set up so that everyone, can just relax and enjoy the gift of Sabbath. No one's in the kitchen preparing meals. No one's working. All are praying and celebrating and enjoying. Jesus was attending a Sabbath meal at the home of a leader of the Pharisees, which is a group of Jewish scholars as well as a political party in early Palestine, often mentioned in the Gospels. The Sabbath meal was and is about more than eating food. It is a time of worship, of sharing prayers and hymns and reflections and debates on Scripture around the table. It is family time and connection time. It is welcoming the gifts of God into one's life and celebrating the love found in family, friends, and faith. It is meant to be a time of wonder, of rest, of delight, of playfulness, of gratitude. Imagine having 24 hours set aside each week for wonder, rest, play, delight, and gratitude. Probably most of us can't imagine that. Unfortunately, within our Christian tradition, the Puritans got a hold of Sabbath. And they took all of the wonder, rest, delight, and gratitude out of it. They kept a 24-hour period of rest from labor, but they didn't allow anything playful or fun to happen. No games, no cards, no delightful food or drink. For their own reasons, they made worship and Sabbath into something more like punishment and demand. So no wonder people rebelled and started to do away with Sabbath. But the other thing that took away from Sabbath is our society's drive to achieve status and wealth and high acclaim. We can't rest because we might miss the opportunity of a lifetime. We can't sit still. We can't leave a moment in our schedules unfilled. We're on a treadmill of our society that never ends. Our to-do list is finished and another one's already waiting. But to what end? What purpose? Are we any happier because we fill every hour with activities and work? Do we feel deep joy because we are constantly on the road going from here to there? Do we find contentment or just exhaustion from the pace of our society? It's hard, though. Some of us are caught up in the midst of demands of jobs and family from which we cannot easily divest ourselves. We live in a society where it's getting harder and harder to make a living wage. But as those who choose to follow the way of Jesus, we have Jesus' wisdom to guide us. We can ask ourselves, am I caught up in a push to gain status and wealth and acclaim? All things that mean nothing at Jesus' table. Who do I invite to my table? How do I share what I have with those who cannot repay me? And do I notice those who often go unnoticed? Maybe a good thing to think about on Mother's Day. Jesus looked around the room and said, don't rush to get to the head of the table. Don't seek out status or rewards of riches. Come sit at my table where there is room for everyone, where there is wonder and rest and delight and playfulness and gratitude. So come to Jesus' table today. Come and find here what you need. Come share what you have. And know deep joy and lasting peace. Amen.